I calculated schemes to get us locked up. Shut up and back insane. Two deniers of the future, rob our names. Kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me. Cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrite, she lied to me. Wallace for freedom, education, equality never gave me nothing but slavery. And now look at how dangerous it made me. Calling me a madman, cause I'm strong and bold. With this scuffle of knowledge of the lies you told, promised me emancipation and this new nation. All you ever gave my people was starvation. Fathers of this country never cared for me. They kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery. And Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me. Except lie about the facts in my history. So now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed. But the government's glad cause they enjoy it when my people are down so they can screw us around. Time to change the government now. Panther power. Panther power. From the strength that resides within, go toe to toe with the panther and you just can't win. Self-proclaimed best, suppress the rest. The rich get richer and the poor take less. The American dream was an American nightmare. You kept my people down and refused to fight fair. The Ku Klux Klan tried to keep us out with signs of and state. No, the blacks allowed with intimidation and segregation. Was a waste for freedom, but now we're impatient. Black, the other of skin, scared of sellout. Freedom, equality, get out, yell out. Don't you never be ashamed of what you are. It's your panther power that makes you a star. Panther power. Panther power. My mother never let me forget my history, hoping I was set free. Things that were put on me, wanted to be more than just free. Had to know the truth back about my history. I couldn't settle for being a statistic, couldn't survive in this capitalistic government, cause it was meant to hold us back, using ignorance, drugs, the sneak attack, in my community, they killed the unity, but when I charge them, try to claim immunity, act like America, like a case of heart disease, panther power is running through my arteries, try to stop me, oh boy, you'll be clawed to death, cause I'll be fighting for my freedom with my dying breath, do you remember, that's what I'm asking you, you think you're living free, don't make me laugh at you, open your eyes, realize you've been locked in chains, said you wasn't civilized, and stole your name, cause the time has passed, seem to all forget, there is no liberty for you and me, we ain't free yet. Panther power. Panther power. Panther power. Panther power. As it seems, the American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shut up and back insane. Two deniers of the future, rob our names. Kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me. Cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrite, she lied to me. Wallace for freedom, education, equality never gave me nothing but slavery. And now look at how dangerous it made me, calling me a madman. Cause I'm strong and bold with this scuffle of knowledge of the lies you told. Promised me emancipation and this new nation. All you ever gave my people was starvation. Fathers of the country never cared for me. They kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery. And Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me. Except lie about the facts in my history. So now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed. But the government's glad cause they enjoy it when my people are down so they can screw us around. Time to change the government now. Panther power.
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, in the battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and smells of North America. As always, this is a privilege. It's a joy. It's an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others, from this bold, revolutionary radio broadcast and platform, Black Power Radio. This is our broadcast. This is the people's broadcast. And so we're free over the airwaves, saying what we want, telling you how we feel, and kicking not only the statistics, but giving you the ballistics. We open up this show giving thanks to the Black God, the God of our ancestors, that God recognized all throughout Africa. It's the original God, the original man, Black man and Black woman, who answers to many different names and is called on in many different tongues. But we thank that one mighty creator for blessing us to make it down the wheels of time for our manifest greatness, our excellence, our shining bright hearts, our spiritualities, our cultures, the way we govern each other and govern ourselves. We're thankful for that creator manifesting many men and women from among himself and being the first Black man and Black woman, the Elohim as it's called, the God and Goddess on the planet. And as that scientist Leakey discovered, that the original man is the Black man, and that the original woman is the Black woman from Africa, that locked up hair, that nappy hair, that kinky stuff, or that kingly or queenly stuff. We're thankful to be descendants of a great people and be a part of a lost civilization and lost civilizations who now today have lost knowledge of self and don't know who we are and don't know where we come from. And some of us don't know where we're going, but we're thankful that our bold ancestors, our great ancestors, left us artifacts, left us remnants, left us buildings, left us statues, left us paintings, left us gold, rubies, and trails to remind us of who we are, so that if you ever take that flight and that trip back to your motherland, your mother continent, and you look on the walls there in Kemet, or you look around in the sacred areas, they've written all on the wall, know yourself. Know yourself. And in other parts they say, know your enemy. And so here we are in 2013, knowing ourselves, and we know our enemy. And so we know we're great people, and we give thanks for all of those who, through the transatlantic slave trade and some no-good hook-nose robbers and enslavers, some slave traders came along and made an interpretation to our people that they could get rich by selling our people out. And you had some no-good bastards who sold our people out and sold us into slavery and then put us on a westerly course with no-good pirates and criminals like John Hawkins and the ship Jesus of Lubeck and all them other ships that were sanctioned by the Queen of England and sent this way and sent through the Caribbeans and sent through all the areas ending up on the shores of Jamestown, Virginia, all the way up to Jamestown, Virginia, and then putting us here in the hells of North America, putting us into servitude slavery, putting us into Jim Crow, putting us into black codes, calling us three-fifths of a human being, saying that we were nothing but coons, saying that we were cursed people come from the curse of Ham, saying that we were cursed and our blackness was a curse, saying that we were no good and destined to be servitudes and destined to be hewers of wood and all this that they told us. And here we stand today, still in 2013, have survived all of that. And we're surviving what's being thrown at us today. It bears witness that we are the people of God's choice, and we are the people of God. We are the people of the universe. We are the first people on the planet. We are the original rulers and the original kings and queens and the original mathematicians and scientists. We are not even at all impressed at all by the fancy magicians and alakazam, alakazoo imagery of this white man or the media or any of their state-sponsored imagery. We care nothing about that because we take you black to the root. We take you to the real scientists and the real alchemy. We take you to who you are, black man and black woman, and we say join among your own kind. Stand up amongst yourselves today. We're thankful for our freedom fighters. We're thankful for the magnificent organizing that happened even on the slave ships. As you saw in many of the screenplay movies like Amistad and Roots and other screenplays, but it happened real live and in real life color even better than that, where they would organize on them bastards and they would kill the slave master on the ship and kill the captives on the ship and they would kill the slave master on the plantation and kill our enslavers who raped our women and would cut open her stomach and step on the baby, unborn baby's head with his nasty, no good boot heel. We're thankful for all that magnificent organizing and all those who didn't acquiesce and who didn't give in and all those who defended their blackness and defended their culture, even though they were being taught an alien culture from an alien people. They resisted. And we're thankful for the organizing that happened in, even in the woods, like the Deacons for Defense, in the church houses like the Deacons for Defense, and that happened there even in other areas of the countryside, like what happened with SNCC and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and what happened with CORE, and what happened right there in the hardest parts of the ghetto with the Nation of Islam, and what happened with the hardest parts of the ghetto when the downtrodden with the UNIA, and what happened with the downtrodden with the Moore Science Temple, and what happened with the pitiful poor, the gangster, the thug with the Black Panther Party, and what happened with the BLA, the Black Liberation Army. Thankful for all of that great organizing and those great revolutionaries, male and female, that the movement spawned. And we give thanks for our own development from Dallas, Texas, spreading all throughout the world at the hands of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man who was 100% black man, who told you from his mouth his purpose was to give this devil, this enemy, this oppressor, hell from the cradle to the grave, who told you that he wanted to teach you about yourself and make you a unified army forming a black united front. I'm talking about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, that black power general, giving thanks to his student who carried the line when he made his spiritual transition, his physical transition from amongst us. And that brother who has become known as the attorney at War Howard University law student, who passed his bar exam with the first time, meaning he's a smart individual, but he's connected to the movement, so he's not just book smart, he's also revolutionarily smart. I call him the attorney general, and he served as our national chairman all that time from 2001 on up into 2013, we're talking about the attorney at war, Attorney General Malik Zulu Shabazz, and standing on that platform, coming right out that same vein, coming out that same culture, that same spirit from the Black Power General on down the wheels. We're talking about a man who was his national assistant, and a man who became his national chief of staff, and a brother who crisscrossed the roads with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad under the most intense pressure when the world vilified him and when the world couldn't stand him and when niggas rolled up, pardon me, but Negroes rolled up and tried to kill him and shot him there in Riverside, California. He was a brother who also took bullets with the Black Power General, moved the Black Power General around the country to safety, put him in the hands of some bold Panthers, some new Black Panthers who would not let any opposer kill that bold, bald-headed black man, a man who stood with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad until his last day, even driving him home to his residence. We're talking about our national chairman standing on the square and standing on the program, Minister Hashim Nzinga. This is Black Power Radio, and we're talking about them black facts tonight. We're going to hear tonight from many of our national officials. We're going to hear from our National Minister of Defense, Brother DK, who's going to join us tonight and talk to you about those preparatory plans and those preparations for the defense training of not only the new Black Panther Party, but the black nation in general. Police brutality on the rise. Misconduct on the rise. Black-on-black violence and crime on the rise. Rapings and beatings and maimings on the rise. Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazi, Aryan Nation on the rise. There has to be a ministry or minister of defense to tell you what to do, how to safeguard your home, how to safeguard your vehicles, how to safeguard your person, how to protect yourself and protect your neck from anything coming at you. What do you do when the police pull you over? What do you say? What do you not say? How do you say it? How do you hold your hands? How do you sit? How do you stand? How do you walk? How do you talk? We got to go over that tonight. In the spirit of that great, bold black man who came up from the South and to the West Coast, Minister Huey P. Newton, National Minister of Defense of the Black Panther Party, we got to talk some defense tonight. We're also going to talk about some informational defense tonight. We're going to hear from the National Minister of Information, who was formerly the National Assistant of the new Black Panther Party, now National Minister of Information, Sister Amira Sankofa Kweli. She'll be on with us tonight. We'll hear from her as she talks about informational defense and how to defend from the propaganda attacks from our enemy, the campaigns aimed at us from our enemies, and how to protect your neck and your mind with proper information. Talking about proper propaganda. What are you supposed to be looking at? How do you decipher that? How do you decipher what's happening on the news? How do you decipher government shutdown to partial shutdown to reopening? How do you decipher these white convicted criminals getting off and getting let off and murderers getting let off and all kinds of stuff? How do you decipher that? You got to know how to fight with some information. It's called the information age, but many of you don't know how to fight with information. You don't know how to read. You don't know how to process information. You do not know how to go into these computers on Google and other sites and pull out information to fire at your enemy and slay your enemy with the keyboard information. You can't do that. But you talking about you ready for the revolution. And you talking about you ready for when it pops off, not understanding it's popping off around you all the time. We will also hear from our national chairman tonight, who will go deep into what we expect to do as a party, go deep into our national summit, which is coming up this February 21st, February the 21st of 2014, the new Black Panther Party will have its national summit in Washington, D.C. Location to be announced, Washington, D.C., February the 21st through the 23rd. Third, we're having a national summit, and portions will be open to the public with speakers from around the globe, speakers from around the world coming to hear from that bold, beautiful group and organization that does not intend to let up one bit, but we fully intend to kick the tail and kick the behind of the cracker wherever the cracker can be found. I got to say it like Dr. Collin was saying. Kick the tail in the behind of the cracker wherever the cracker can be found. But this will be a tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, who made his physical transition in February, and it's also a tribute to the great champion of black nationalism. Some say that great prophet of black nationalism, Minister Malcolm X. Now, in the same day, I want you to hear me good, the same day, we're going to tribute the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, who some say was Malcolm X times two. And on that same day, we will tribute that bold, fiery warrior of black nationalism, that former national spokesman for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that man who mentored and raised up that great black man who you see teaching out there today, who raised up from number 7 in New York, Minister Louis Farrakhan, or the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We're going to be tributing Minister Malcolm X, Brother El Haj Malik Shabazz, Brother Omar Ali, who very much so, deserves tribute and deserves understanding and deserves to be brought to the forefront of the minds of black people. And the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad deserves tribute and deserves to be brought to the forefront of black people by people who loved him the best. We lost him February 17, 2001. February 17, 2001, we lost a man who was known to the world as the Black Power General. And then you're talking about now February, this month of February, born May 19th, 1925, and he was taken from us by some no good bastards who also was pushed and propped up by the underhanded, slimy hands of this government in their program of counterintelligence on February the 21st, 1965. Minister Malcolm X at the Audubon Ballroom assassinated and killed in front of his daughters, in front of his wife, in front of his comrades, in front of his own organization at the Audubon Ballroom, Minister Malcolm X killed. But even a worse assassination than that is the assassination of character, putting that man before the world on a stamp and putting and bringing him on down to just a quote of by any means necessary. Putting him before the world and putting him in a book and making the allegations that Minister Malcolm X was homosexual, or the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, yeah, some have slandered his character and put him out there before the world talking about he was a molested man and all kind of crazy stuff. Hell to the no. Those who love the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad will tribute him in this hour and bring him to the forefront in a righteous way and in a righteous manner, and we will tell the truth about our warrior and general and our brother and that soldier in the fight for the liberation of black people. And we will bring Minister Malcolm X to the forefront, and we will tribute him in a righteous manner, in a righteous cause, in a righteous way, and bring the truth of him to the forefront. Hell no, you cannot let those who have took lives, given lives, and made sacrifices, you cannot let them be slandered in ways by the media or otherwise in ways that does not benefit their legacy. The white man doesn't let that happen. He doesn't let you run around and slander General Westmoreland. He doesn't let you run around and slander General Schwarzkopf. And even when their own get caught, like General Petraeus and all of them that get caught, they try to portray them in the best light. We in the black nation will not allow you to portray our greats as homosexuals or someone who has been touched, and that's why they have to be so hard and so harsh because they've been touched. Hell no. A general is a general. A warrior is a warrior. And they are made that way because God himself made him that way in his mother's womb, and his mother shaped him, and his daddy hopefully raised him to be the way that he is. And so the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad will receive tribute. And that great honorable minister, Malcolm X, will receive tribute. And we will be training and organizing and doing our workshops and getting our party right all through February. But it will reach its apex February the 21st of 2014. I'm here to tell you, you better look hard at the new Black Panther Party. This ain't the same old new Black Panther Party you've been looking at for some years, and we've been scraggling and struggling and doing hell to the no to new Black Panther Party. And we ain't taking no shorts. We're putting black nationalism on the map. We're putting Pan-Africanism on the map. We're putting black laws for all black people on the map. We're putting freedom and independence on the map. We're putting the struggle of our people right in your face in a real way so that you can access it. Last week, we talked about National Black TV And we told you that instead of complaining about what Disney putting on the TV screen, instead of complaining about what Paramount putting on the TV screen, instead of complaining about what Universal Pictures putting on the TV screen, make your own damn television station. And so we're leading by example. And so we have National Black TV with our brother Samuel. National Black TV. And we got our own station on there, that new Black Panther channel. And so we're going to tell you again how to support that. But we got other endeavors coming up. Our national chairman will talk to you about that pro-black, black power tour that he's working on. He's going to talk to you about pro-black, black power products that he's working on. We're going to talk to you about endeavors that will benefit the black community and also benefit your pockets if you work it. We're talking about doing for self. This is not a program to beg the white man. Our 10-point program refuses to beg the white man to do anything. We understand that power concedes nothing without a demand. And so we are just in making our demands. And we are just in letting the white man know and letting us know as a people what we are doing for our own liberation and our own salvation. Because if you watch 12 Years a Slave, you're going to see that. You totally will understand why we're doing what we're doing, why we're moving the way that we're moving. If you have watched Roots, if you have watched Amistad, if you have watched any of them movies that talk about our history, you know why we stand in the way that we stand today. Because ain't nothing changed. The date changed. The time changed. You can set the clocks back. You can set the clocks forward. The time will change. The data changed. But the conditions, the social conditions, the economic conditions, the cultural conditions of our people that gave birth to a Nat Turner, that gave birth to a Denmark Vesey, that gave birth to a Frederick Douglass, that gave birth to a Queen Ty, that gave birth to a Sojourner Truth, those conditions have not changed in 2013. And so you wonder why the NSA is spying. You wonder why they spying on Yahoo, they spying on Google, they spying on you, they spying on me. You wonder why these white boys like Edward Snowden and all of them going crazy talking about the abuse of power and the misuse of power. This white man is going crazy spying because they're trying to locate that black messiah or the rise of that black messiah that J. Edgar Hoover said would electrify black people into black nationalism, or in particular black youth into black nationalism, and help them to do for themselves, in paraphrase words. Well, guess what, Hoover? It ain't just one man, and it ain't just one woman. You have a whole nation of people that are yearning to breathe free. Why is the Department of Homeland Security stockpiling weapons? Why are they activating certain jails and prisons and camps? Why are they doing this? Because they understand that the dissatisfaction of the people has reached an all-time high, and you can only lie to the people for so long before the people begin to wake up. And once the people wake up and begin to take charge of their own destiny, you can no longer fool that people because they don't believe what the hell you're saying. So instead of and allowing you a way to do for yourself uninterrupted, they'd rather kill off the people, kill black people, kill off the oppressed. They'd rather take up arms against innocent people who just want to live their lives. But just like the conditions that produce the Deacons for Defense, just like the conditions that produced the UNIA, just like the conditions that produced the BLA, they have produced the new Black Panther Party. They have produced the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad. They have produced Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. They have produced a Minister Hashim Nzinga. They have produced a Brother Sean Saddam Kweli, and they produced you. And so I'll be damned. We going to go free either way that it goes. And so that's just a word to the wise, that no matter how much you resist the movement, no matter how much you resist the struggle, no matter how much you resist the temptation to join, you will be forced to join amongst yourself and amongst your own to do for self. And so we are prepared to hear from our national chairman, because he is going to tell you what to expect. And this is a brother who has been holding the line. And it's a man who deserves support, but I have to say it's not about one man. It's not a one-man woman. It's not a one-woman movement. It's about us. It's about black people getting up and doing for themselves. It's about us fixing our communities, us fixing our families, us being better husbands, us being better wives, us being better brothers, us being better sisters, us being better uncles, us being better aunties, mothers and fathers and families. Why are so many black men joining gangs? They have family issues. Some have daddy issues. Some have mother issues. Some have grandmother issues. It's a family situation that they're missing out on because our family unit has been broken. And so we want to repair the damage. So we want to talk tonight about defense, how to defend your family. And that means physical defense. That means mental defense. That means spiritual defense. That means emotional defense. That means psychological defense. That means defense in general. How to defend your family, how to defend yourself, and how to also have informational defense. The new Black Panther Party will be talking and going more into business and black economics and how to make this black dollar spend more in our community. We're going to talk also about what kind of pressure needs to be applied to certain businesses. Our national chairman is going to talk about that, how you apply pressure like the Panthers did in the 60s to Woolworth and other businesses when they would not support the programs. You got to have a program that these businesses will support or that they should support. And if they don't support, you got to be able to put pressure on these bastards in a way to where they feel the crunch and you make them cough up some dollars and cough up some support. They robbing your community all the time. Arabs in the community robbing it all the time. Japanese in there robbing it all the time. Indians in there robbing it all the time. Other blacks in there robbing it all the time. And the healthy programs, like the food and breakfast program, like the free food program, like the free shoes program, like the prisons, busing the prisons program, like the mentorship programs for the youth and the liberation schools program, none of that gets funded. And so the pitiful poor Panthers, some have to come out of their pockets and fund the whole movement. When you got businesses making million-dollar overheads and then some, you got execs and CEOs with million-dollar budgets and million-dollar expenses, but they also got million-dollar playing money, too. And so none of that's coming to the program. We're talking about black, white, red, and yellow. It's out here. And so it's up to us to push that program. It's up to the new Black Panther Party to push the program to the people in a way they can understand it and in a way they will support it. It's up to us to make it applicable for our people because our people need help. How can we be 13% of a population but 60 to 70, sometimes they say 80% of a prison industrial complex, but you make up 13 to 12% of a total population in the United States of America? It doesn't make sense unless there's a market for black people and a warehousing for black people within the prison industrial complex. It doesn't make sense unless some big banker or some big CEO or somebody who has invested in the prison industry is making money off the incarceration of your son and my son and our daughters and our family members. That's the only way it makes sense. So we must fight against the capitalistic cetacean against our people and the capitalistic domination of the prison industrial complex that is targeted and aimed at our people. There are things, black man and black woman, that you must fight against. And there are things that the new Black Panther Party is adjusting your mind to fight against. You have to be aware that you are in a battle for survival and that you are in a battle to cleanse yourself of an evil that does not mean you any good at all. You got to know, black man and woman, that it's time to go to war for your survival. If you're there in New York, if you're in Chicago, if you're there in D.C., if you're there in Detroit, if you're there in California, if you're there in Roxbury, if you're there in Louisiana, if you're there in Florida, if you're here and there in Indiana or Kentucky, or if you're there in Ohio, if you're here or there in Arkansas, or wherever you are in the world, you have to extend the battlefield of liberation that Marcus Garvey fought on. Extend the battlefield of liberation that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad fought on. Extend the battle of liberation that Queen Mother Moore fought on. Extend the battle of liberation, huh, that Shirley Chisholm fought on. You got to extend the battle for liberation that your people fought on. You cannot walk around in 2013 like you don't got nothing to do and like you ain't got nothing to fight for, like you ain't got nothing to worry about, walking around like a big, thick-lipped African like you ain't got nothing to do. And we still are fighting to get our independence. You're still recognized on the books, really, as three-fifths of a human being. Dred Scott still says that the black man and woman has no rights, that a white man or woman is duty-bound to even think about. You have no rights that a white man or white woman is duty-bound to respect. That's Dred Scott law. While you're quoting the Constitution and all of that, Bill of Rights and all of that, know about Dred Scott that says right now in 2013 that you have no rights, that they are duty-bound to respect, because guess what? That's the law of the land. America is not supposed to respect you at all. America is not set up to respect black people. America is not set up to help black people. America is not set up to even really enrich black people. There's only a certain select few that will get through, and they will be the mannequins for the window dressing of America. They'll be the mannequins, the Obamas, the Oprahs, and the Diddy Combs, and this one and that one. They will be the window dressers for those who will be the mannequins for white supremacy and capitalism. But I tell you what, the masses of your people are suffering in the hells and smells of North America. And they're suffering trying to get their just due. They're suffering trying to find their way, to make their way, to be a part of you. So we must unite amongst ourselves and do for ourselves. As I promised you, we're going to, at this time, hear from my great and illustrious national chairman, who's going to push you forward into the agenda of the Panther Party, tell you what his upcoming plans are, what he has on his mind. As always, we are honored and privileged to have him on with us. Brothers and sisters, please help us to represent and welcome our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, sir, welcome to the broadcast.
Black Power, Brother Sean, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
You know, we always have to say that on this radio station because we never know when they plan with it. Because tonight,
that's right,
we hitting them in the heart. They can talk about terrorism. They can talk about conspiracies. They can talk about jailing the black man, and they can monitor this station and talk about and try to make us criminals. Boy, but tonight we're going to fulfill their dreams. Because I'm going to tell you, when you become a criminal is when you stop paying your oppressor to oppress you. That's when you stop being a criminal of your own race. When you start a movement, and remember Frederick Douglass' great words that your oppressor will never stop oppressing you. It's not his job to stop oppressing you. It's your job to stop your oppressor from oppressing you. And any intelligent people, any intelligent human being would not pay to be exploited, would not pay to be oppressed, would not pay their oppressor to keep their foot on their neck. I know we talk about it all the time. We done talked it and we done talked it. But, brother, until we get it, we got to run this play till we run it right. So tonight we're talking about what the white man hates with a passion. He hates us to talk about his economics, his economic warfare on Africans in America, the Korean, the Japanese, our brother from India. All of them, when we hate, I mean, all of them hate when we get on this topic, because all of them use the black community, as we say in the hood, Brother Sean, like prostitutes. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. shame ourselves to have the degrees we have and have the CPAs we have and have the black people we have in banking and in the financial world and have the libraries with the books of economic development. Have Elijah Muhammad message to the black man to do for yourself. Have the Honorable Marcus Garvey plan of the black starship and blacks to do for themselves. Have Booker T. Washington plan of Tuskegee to teach us to do for self. I know some people thought he was teaching us to make those bricks and make that glass and how to do concrete foundation and that plumbing for the white man, but he was really teaching us to do for ourselves, to build for ourselves. And so here we are, 2013, all of these black radio listeners. How many of you went into a Chinese restaurant today? How many of you went into a Korean restaurant today? How many of you went into a restaurant of Indian descent today? How many of you went into a white man restaurant today and laid those green dollars down and say, thank you for oppressing me? How many of you didn't find that black restaurant, didn't find mama cooking in the kitchen? We're going to talk simple, man. First of all, I want to say our national chairman, Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, said, ho, 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 and you. So we know it's coming up, brother. And we know Dr. Khalid Muhammad said we go buy Christmas lights and wrap them all around the icebox, all around the microwave, and we ain't paid our electricity bill from last year.
Right.
And it's our duty. If we're going to be a revolutionary movement and a new Black Panther Party of 23 years, it's our duty to talk black economics. It's our duty to keep screaming out about what we're doing to ourselves. Here I am, downtown Atlanta, and every day I see the richest, our attorney, our CPA, our doctors, our lawyers. I see our drug sellers. I see the thugs. I see the homeless. We all do the same thing, brother. We flock into these places and give these people our money, and when we go in there, we say this over and over again. They don't have one of us working in the place. They don't have one of us even to sweep the place as a janitor. And they look at us like we ain't nothing. They talk to us like we ain't nothing, but we drop our money on. We said before the Million Youth March on Black Power Radio, we told everybody to go out and listen to Dr. King's last speech, 1968. I've been to the mountaintop. And we said to our listening audience, and we want you to listen close. This ain't no hype. These are simple facts, simple steps that we need to take. We don't need no genius. We don't need to do a lot of planning. These are simple steps that has always brought our oppressor to his knees. King said, they say we poor. So, yeah, we poor when we're separated, when we ain't united. Yeah, we poor. He said, but we are proven when we come together. We represent 30 billion dollars in 1967. King said that in 68. He said, so if we want to get Alabama attention, if we want to get Tennessee attention, stop buying Wonder Bread. We got to stop buying Coke. We got to start banking with black banks. We got to start using black insurance companies. King was talking about black economic. King was a master at boycotting. He shut down the bus line. But the only thing he thought in his tender heart and his praying heart that if we shut them down to get them to let us ride the bus with them, to get them to let us eat at the front of their restaurant counters instead of the back door. That was 1968, Brother Sean. King would turn over in his grave if we were using the same attack that he used in 68 as free black people in 2013. King got us from the back door to the front of the lunch counter, along with SNCC and a lot of other people, that we can be as decent human beings and go in the front door. But we were still going in the front door to give crackers and our oppressors our money. Listen to me, Black Talk Radio. We're talking facts, all historical facts. No, cracker, we're not talking hype. We're not hollering. We're talking about you and this game that you play over and over again through history to make us the asses of the world. We're talking about Brother Trayvon Martin. As Brother Trayvon Martin reminded us of Emmett Till of 1955. But Brother Sean, let me tell you how this equals our economic situation and tell you how tender the black man is and the black woman. Emmett Till is killed in 1955 for so-called whistling in a store of a white man whose white wife happened to be working the counter that day. And she said that Emmett whistled at her. So when she told her husband that, they went out to Brother Moses' house, Emmett's grandfather, and they took Emmett and lynched Emmett. And after the long fight from Emmett's great mother, Mabel Till, teacher who worked hard to revenge her son's death, unfortunately, she sat in that courtroom and heard the verdict that the white man was innocent. Brother Sean, a magazine paid them $7,200 back in 1955. That was a lot of money, brother, to tell the truth. And we know there's no double jeopardy in America. So they couldn't go back and prosecute the white man for killing Emmett Till. So he got paid $7,200 to write the story, Brother Sean. And what we're about to find out with Zimmerman, this black economics we're talking tonight. I'm going to put it together in a few seconds. Just bear with me and take some notes. White woman, get Emmett Till killed. And then, with no double jeopardy, they write the story for a magazine for $7,200, and they get paid. And they told just how they went in, chased him out the back door, caught him, took him to the barn, beat him. He fought him, and they shot him in the head, tied him to the fan, threw his body in the creek. They wrote the story. And I'm sure Zimmerman's wife is coming out soon with her book. She's probably going to tell how Zimmerman killed Trayvon because he can't get double jeopardy. But what has this got to do with black economics, Brother Isheen? This is what it's got to do. That store that Emmett Till went in, that store that Emmett Till whistled in, it stayed in that Mississippi money town. And black people went back into that store and bought Coke, bought eggs, bought potatoes, bought bread, and they continued to buy out of that store until that store closed 30 years later with the fat white man who killed Emmett Till rocking on the porch with the same white lady behind the cash register. Killed a baby. Started an all-out cry all around the world, Emmett Till did. Still shopped in that damn store, Brother Sean. What would it take for us to pull our money from our oppressor? So a plan in the new Black Panther Party all over the country, not this week, but next week, we'll be sending out emails and flyers. And we're going to get every Panther chapter to pick a library. And we want all black vendors, all black people who understand economic development, all black people who talk about Jews, but we should be acting like some of these Jews when they say when they get money, $1 have to touch 7 Jews' hands before it leaves the Jews' community. We get a dollar, it don't stay in our community but 32 seconds from the bank right to the white man's hand. So we're not going to put the pressure on the New Black Panther Party. We're going to put the pressure on the black nation. We're not going to wait the week before Christmas and start talking about this white Santa Claus, who we know for a fact that Dr. King said in 67 we spent $30 billion. But let me tell you, all the economists said last year we spent over $1 trillion. And all the facts that you can find show that your Fortune 500 companies, your Macy's, your Dillard's, they depend on this period of Christmas to take care of 6 to 7 months of their profit for the year. So when you shut them down for Christmas, you shut down 7 months of their profit, knowing we're the last hired and the first fired. We don't demand nothing of the white man no more, not even a damn job. So I'm saying to you, we got too many black businesses going out of business. We got too many sisters and brothers working out of their basements, making dolls, making towels, making drapes. We got interior decorators selling blankets, selling cookies, selling tires, selling cars, black car dealerships, black stores. Everybody in every community, I don't care if you're in St. Louis, Dallas, Atlanta, you know where your black stores are. You know where your black restaurants are. So we're going to be calling on the black business, starting not this week, but next week. And we're going to be giving locations in every major city that we're going to start coordinating week to week with black vendors. And we're going to get a list of black vendors, and we're going to put them on our website, which will be up in 2 weeks. And we will start to collect black vendors from all over the country that is crying for black dollars to make it another year, to make it another month, to make it another week that has black employees. Spend your money with your own people. And them black vendors, we're going to unite with them, and we're going to unite with the black communities, and we're going to organize for 2 to 3 weeks, and we're going to target certain spots that each city have individual spots that they know do us wrong, that they know don't mean us no good. And we're going to get in front of them spots the 3rd week of November, the 4th week of November, the 1st week of December, the 2nd week of December. We're going to get in them spots the 3rd week of December, and we're going to tell our people don't spend no damn money with them. We're going to get in front of them car lots that don't treat our people right, don't spend no money with them. We're going to get in front of those malls that chase our kids at the mall, don't spend no money with them. Shut them down. We're going to get on 120th in Harlem, tell our people don't spend no damn money with these white people. Brother Sean, I'm going to tell you something. America was built off of cotton. The reason the South could even compete with the Union is because of the slaves and this cotton. And everybody listening to my voice, touch your chest, you're feeling on some cotton. Touch your leg, you're feeling on some cotton. Touch your feet, you're feeling on some cotton. Cotton has been the forerunner of oppression, made these crackers more money than anything you can name. Black people were in them cotton fields. Now we got black farmers. We got land. How many black people you know got a cotton field? These crackers made us never want to see a cotton field again, but they sell more cotton a day than they ever sold in their life. All our young brothers out there wearing white tees. So the first step, Sean, we got to take these baby steps again with our people to shut down the oppressor by keeping our money in our banks, putting it in our children's college fund, putting it up for hard times. Don't spend money unnecessary with these million-dollar commercials they're running to psychologically make you think you need something that you don't need, put you in enough debt that you ain't even got out on your credit cards from last year, ruin your credit over some damn Snickers and all of this stuff that we get each other every year. Tell my kid, don't give me none of them house shoes. Don't give me one of them house coats. Don't give me none of them funny hats unless you make it with your own hands. And we'll go to a Kwanzaa fest if we want to share gifts and love, and we'll do it with black people, man. And Brother Sean, we got to work hard on this, and then we're going to turn the corner, and our black farmers have been crying out because of the crop. But we got to get into this cotton, bro, because this cotton don't take as much water as the food. And if we can start using some of this cotton land, cotton seeds, and let's go back and make some money with our farmers on the stuff that money away from us, that's going to be second plant. Then we can plant them greens and them carrots and them watermelons and don't suffer so bad out here, man. But we're talking black economics on a very small scale, but as I listen to all you know, we done had the heavyweights on, and we're going to have them on in the future. But we finna do the basics, which is our responsibility as a revolutionary organization who want a nation of our own. We're going to go in 2 weeks, Brother Sean, this show will be dedicated to shedding these crackers down. Not December 22nd, not December 19th, hell no. We starting in November to get our people organized. So come December 1st, we hitting the streets rolling. Because you know most of our people, the last week of November, they start spending that money all the way up to that whole day. And that day is a whole day.
Yeah, great.
So I just wanted to get on today, brother, and share that with our people. And, of course, I told you by the end of this week I have you a document. For 2 weeks we can let this go out, Brother Sean.
You there, Brother Chip?
Yes, sir. I was waiting on you now.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir. I don't know if you were finished or not, like you're trying to finish your thought there.
No, I was just, you know, Brother Sean and Brother Chief of Staff, I know you do a lot of research in this area, and Brother Sean, it's just our duty. Before any race of people can have a nation of their own, Marcus Garvey taught us. He taught us well that before you have a nation of your own, you got to do some economic development. You got to be
That's
able
right.
to buy land. You got to be able to buy your ships. You got to be able to buy your railroad car. You got to be a nation thinker to be a nation builder. And we build everybody nation, and we want to say we part of a nation that's anti-us.
That's
I was
right.
talking to brothers today about child support, and they were telling me how many brothers in jail for child support who support their children, but they don't like going through no court system. And the black woman know that he gives her this money on a regular basis, but they get to court and get a white lawyer, and the brother goes to jail, get his license taken. And they know that's a way of taking the economic development out of the neighborhood and out of the community when you take the black man driving license, when you lock the black man up. And so many years we've been preaching this, and I don't care who we listen to, from Amos Wilson to Dr. Clark to Dr. Ben to Dr. Jeffrey to Dr. Collard to Elijah, we know there's been an attack on the black man. I was watching that Butler movie. The first thing they do is rape the black woman and kill the black man. It's not the white man's fault no more. We know what he do. And the only way we're going to have a fighting chance is we're going to have to get into this economic war. And the only way the black man going to get on his black feet to take care of his black baby is we're going to have to stay out of jail, and we're going to have to start an economic war and stop giving this government and these states the money to build this police state. Why are they talking about nobody got a job? Why are they talking about shutting down Washington, D.C.? Federal banking is shut down. You can't get a loan. Everything shut down, but the police department is buying armored trucks. The police department is putting 1,000 more police on the streets.
Exactly.
Economically poor, and keep us caught up into this injustice machine that's chewing and spitting us out. But what I like about it, Brother Sean, the simple steps that we take this week can start a movement. Then we get our brothers from the NAACP to join us. We get our brothers from the SCLC. We get Charles Steele on the radio, and we get him to join us, who are damn good and got a history of doing this. Then we get Brother Al Sharpton and the Action Network and get them to attacking this situation. What I'm saying is so many other organizations. We get the Nation of Islam to join us and on, but we got to start it. And if we start it early enough in November, I'm telling you, Sean, we can run this nation crazy. We can run this nation crazy. And for a simple moment in history, brother, for a simple moment in history, maybe, just maybe, we can make our ancestors smile at us, because our ancestors didn't get hit in the head with hammers. Our ancestors didn't put their head in laughing barrels because it was against the law in South Carolina to laugh out in the open. Harriet Tubman didn't go through them swamps. Sojourner on the Truth didn't say in God still God. Ida B. Wells didn't work on the educational system. Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. Frederick Douglass didn't ask, who am I on your 4th of July? Nat Turner didn't go and raid those plantations. Then Mark Vesey didn't get that group together to get off that plantation for us to still be slaves in 2013. We have to stop it, man. We look so damn crazy before the world. We the biggest whore going. And we just grin and smile while we count hundreds out to them. Then we wonder why our babies do such foolishness. Brother, we got to get involved in this economic war. You do not see no Chinese person giggling and laughing unless they count money with each other. You do not see these brothers when you go into that subway, when you go into that Citgo service station, when you go into that little corner store. Them Indian brothers are laughing with each other behind the counter while they taking your money. Man, we got to stop it, man. And so we're going to work hard over this week, Brother Sean, to come up with a doable plan early enough and put the troops in the streets. But we're not going to do this on our own back. We're going to start a movement, and we're going to get on these Facebooks and these Twitters and all of this Instagram and all this new technology, and we're going to get the list of all our emailers from the Million Youth March and from the Black Power movement, and we're going to get all our emails from the National Action Days we've done with Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, all of his work, and all of these emails we got, and we're going to stop our people from mumbling and grumbling and fighting with each other, and let's go shut them down, man. Can we do that, Brother Sean?
Yes, sir, we can, and we will.
What time are we running now?
It's 9:04, sir. We're right at the segment where we want to bring in.
All right. Well, I don't want to interfere with the next hour because I've heard we got a couple of national officials are going to be coming on and talking to the troops. And, Brother Sean, next week I hope you let them know that we're going to be having a powerful show and we're going to get it out to everybody. And we're going to have our big brother, Nkrumah, from Ghana, daughter on, and our big brother from Congo, Brother Patrice Lumumba, daughter's on. We're going to have Miss Lumumba and Miss Nkrumah on at the same time next week. It's going to be an explosive show. I'm going to sign off and say Black Power, Black Power, and I'm going to say to the audience, Brother Sean, we're going to do this simple, and we're going to make it easy, and we're going to make a powerful impact, and we're going to do something that we can do. It's not hype. That we should have been doing, and hopefully we can get our eyes back on the prize and get some respect from the nation again, man.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for hosting, and thanks for having me, Brother Sean. Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Chairman. Thank you for your words, and thank you for coming on with us. Brothers and sisters, that's our National Chairman giving it to you first here straight that we intend to shut down the bloodsuckers of the poor during these so-called holiday or holiday seasons. The so-called holiday seasoning. You will see some action in the streets. We're going to go right to these business and take it in the spirit of our greats like Adam Clayton Powell Jr. We're going to shut you down. We're going to shut you down. Looking through an article out of USA Today as we prepare to bring our guest on, our National Minister of Information, Sister Ms. Sankofa Kweli, and our National Minister of Defense, Brother DK. USA Today says that for many specialty businesses, sales logged between Thanksgiving and Christmas can mean a year of great success or dismal failure. 1 week in the life of a Christmas business is like 6 or 7 weeks in the life of a regular business. It says if sales are off for 4 days, that's like sales being off for an entire month of regular business. It says waiting for Christmas. Okay, they're waiting. And so our National Chairman is telling you that if you really want to make a difference, a revolutionary difference in what's happening with your people, and you know that our people are being robbed, and you know that our people are deaf, dumb, and blind, then you have to hit them in their pockets. You live in a capitalistic nation that only cares about a bottom dollar. And so we want to organize early, and we're going to tell you how to organize early in your areas to boycott these bastards, these blood-sucking businesses on their holiday exploitations. We're going to organize it, and it's coming to an area near you. All new Black Panthers will be front line on the deck leading the charge. And anyway, especially for you Christians out there, why are you putting your babies on the lap of a white man with a beard, child molester any damn way? Santa Claus spells Satan's claws. We want to welcome now to our radio broadcast our guest. And of course, for those of you who follow the progression of the new Black Panther Party, you know that we don't run as one man or one woman. We're not ran just on one thought. We are ran by a central committee, and we're ran by a leadership that comes from various backgrounds, various stages of life, and has various representations. And so just as you saw in the early days, you saw an Eldridge Cleaver, you saw a Kathleen Cleaver. You may have seen a Huey Newton. You may have seen a Bobby Seale. You may have seen an Elaine Brown or an Erica Huggins, or you may have seen an Asada Shakur, or you may have seen a Angela Davis, just the same way in the new Black Panther Party. We got all kinds of talent, male and female, and many of them are a part of our National Central Committee. We got two members on tonight who will join us and talk to you about what they intend to do, what their positions mean, what they want to offer the Black Nation. They'll talk to you about a lot of things. So the first person I'll bring on, because it is ladies first, we will bring on our National Minister of Information, who is a longtime warrior in this struggle and has been through many battles, even physical battles with the pig, and other confrontations, and she's a guerrilla propagandist working hard to keep our people inspired and informed, making sure that the websites are together, making sure that the newspapers are on point, making sure that all the information that you see out there in the public that is right and exact, and that any disinformation or misinformation is retracted and fought in a proper context and a proper manner. So let's welcome to our radio broadcast our National Minister of Information, Sister Amira Sankofa Kweli. Black Power, Sister. Welcome to the broadcast.
Black Power, brother.
All right. Welcome, and inform the people on who you are and a little bit about what you do.
Well, I have a lot of
podcast I do. But I guess I'm going to stick to a particular topic today. Well, a couple. Well, first of all, I'm Amira Sankofa Kweli. I've been in this organization since 2005. Actually, I started in March of 2005. I started organizing and then led up to that point of becoming an official chapter May 19, 2005. And ever since then, I've been rocking and rolling. I have not left the movement. And then at such time, maybe some years down the line, I became the national assistant to the organization. And I worked diligently and became the Minister of Information just here recently because that's a passion of mine, because I love giving out information on the terms of propaganda, what's going on with the world, what's going on behind the system that they don't tell you about, and just your general health concerns. And right now, currently, I just graduated in December. I just obtained my degree, associate's degree in healthcare administration, and now I'm working on my bachelor's for business administration / healthcare management. And then on top of that, I am being certified to become a herbalist. So that's pretty much a little something that I do. And on the terms of what I would like to bring to the organization in this newfound position, definitely information, definitely the breakdown of healthcare and what it's doing to our people. Definitely, again, like I said, stated before, the propaganda that the government does not tell you about, and just your general propaganda that goes on in the community, and just the goal of educating our people and making them aware of definitely different governmental things, such as like the rights that we have that we don't really know about, things such as that.
Okay, great. What? Tell us a little bit about a Minister of Information. I understand that, for example, Mumia Abu-Jamal, our comrade locked down in political prison, he was Minister of Information for the Black Panther Party. Explain to us a little bit about what a Minister of Information does and why is that role so important within the liberation struggle for our people?
Well, it's very important because, again, you're giving people information in regards to everything, not just the things that I named, but I just gave you a basic definition of what, you know, type of information. But, for example, the breakdown, the ideology of the party, of the organization, what the organization is about and how it is ran, and just basically the information that will be presented to the public gathered through a series of intel and constant research through writing. If it's a form of writing, if it's a form of us just getting onto, like, you know, medias like this, the radio show, Black Power Radio Show, and now, like, we're getting Black Power TV. So those types of formations and definitely in education upon newspaper, social media and things like Bell, and dispense information all around the world and around the nation, internationally and nationally, to get out to our people to make them aware of what's going on so we can reach out to many different lives and who is all effective and what is effective and who is doing what.
Expound a little bit on how we're being attacked information. Talking about the media, we're talking about radio. What's an example of some of the propaganda attacks that happen to Black people and how it affects our minds?
Well, definitely through social media, but just as giving you a clear example, how can I put this? Well, basically, let me just give you a hindsight to this, and I hope this answers your question. Basically, the government wants to, number one, control physically, socially, spiritually, and physically. Know, eat, put into their systems how they plan, who they work for, the value, clarification, clarity, emotional and spiritually. So with that said is just gathering those types of formations and understanding that and how the media propaganda machine works, they put what they need to on TV. For example, if you look at, it's a preacher show. I think it's L.A. Preachers or something like that. So what they're doing is they're showing these preachers on there just, you know, as normal people, basically, so-called normal negative people, such as, you know, them getting all this money for the church, them having girlfriends, them having fornication before marriage, and just your ideal of not really committing to the social thoughts of a so-called minister, a Christian minister, because, you know, as you know, the norm minister is a hardworking female or male that does, you know, get money and donations for the church, but they put it back into the church, they put it back into the community, right? But these ministers and preachers living in high rises and fornicating, having multiple wives and just illegally, not that, you know, not the whole, I'm not even getting ready to get into the whole multiple wives thing, but you know what I mean, on the terms of cheating and not living righteously and just like real negative and, you know, basically highlighting their negative things that they used to do, like they used to be gangbangers, so they really highlighting that type of lifestyle. So that's the thing where it projects to the people. And the people are like, wow, well, I can become a Christian. If they can do all of that, I can do all of this. I can become this type of negative entity. And then what happens is it makes the society, and what I mean, not just society, but black society, more negative. And then we have more pimps in the pulpits, and then we have more pimps in society. And then everybody can go on as business as usual. And then instead of it being an oxymoron, it becomes a norm, right? So that's part of the things that they do. And then not only that, it's not just shows like that, but it's Basketball Wives where, you know, the wife, the ex-wife is bitter. She's always turning it up. Instead of showing a healthy, you know, child's mother and father's relationship, although they may not be together, but they can co-parent and be positive and raise their child without being together, and they're having functional and acceptable relationships where the child feels good to go to either parent house, and they still have love for one another in the sense of we've got to raise this child together. So that's one of the ways that they are projecting that so-called negative image into our homes every day. And then for another example would be, for example, if you watch the news, every day on the news, they show the black community. They kind of downside like all the crime goes on. But we all know that crime has gone down within the black community. But really, they, you know, magnify it to be so much because the way they put it on the news, the way they portray it on the news, the way they make statistics, and the way that they block us up and things like that. Instead of that, they highlight all that in the white community. They kind of, you know, turn it back to the back. They just mention it like a 5-second segment. They'll just show something, they take it off of air. But then, you know, every time you look at it, it's black on black crime, HIV, high rise, AIDS. You know, everybody in the black community has AIDS, you know what I mean? So they trying to make us not want to procreate with one another to create babies. If you notice that one of the things, yeah, we're still making babies, but our levels of making babies is at a kind of a low time because what they're doing, of course, and going back, I know I'm kind of throwing out some things here, but I'm trying to answer your question as best as I can. But, you know, within the black community, they have, of course, we know the People's Clinics and all these different clinics, which is a form of sterilization, not just birth control. Please, black people, stop saying birth control. It's really sterilization. Right, because it's stopping us from procreating, from making babies. That is a part of our goal, sisters. And what they put, they offer these programs with tying your tubes for free, okay? So they don't tell you about how it messes up your hormones, how you have to go through these different entities. And then with the WIC program, they give you a lot of soy products, which also sterilizes us. which not only sterilizes us females, but it also sterilizes the men, too. And the men might start to grow breasts after a while. Who the hell knows, right? So because of these actions that we look on the media, we're reading these pamphlets, we're like, wow, our community is so messed up. And then after a while, we keep walking by. If we walk in the alleyway and we keep seeing trash on the floor, comes a norm for the trash, the crack pipe, and all these different drug paraphernalia on the ground. We just keep walking past and stepping over instead of the, like yesterday, we might have cleaned it up, but everything that they're projecting in the media, we're like, man, it's already messed up. Ain't nothing this one person like myself cannot do. You know what I mean? And then they don't teach, even in the school system, they don't really give our children the things that they need. They give them, like, made-up classes, for example, like general and one-on-one, where basically you sit in the classroom and you're supposed to be doing like homework that, homeroom, I think they call it. You're supposed to sit in the classroom and just finish homework. And of course, we're not going to necessarily do that. The children are not going to do that. They're going to socialize with each other, stay on their phone, basically not get no work done, which is a free hour that they could have actually been learning a real live class. Maybe a class where teaching them how to manage a bank account, or teaching them how to become an effective business leader, or how to become an entrepreneur, how to, instead of being part of the system, but being part of your own doggone system. So that's, you know, in a nutshell. Did I answer your
question? Good job. The slaves were forbidden to read. Why don't you kind of touch on how that has taken effect today and taken hold to the young black male and female today, those that are afraid to read. And what that means for us, you know, if you want to hide something from a black man or black woman, put it in a book. What does that mean informationally?
Well, it's exactly what you said in a nutshell about the theory is. I can give you a, how can I say? I can tell you a bit of a story. I know you didn't ask me on the radio show to tell you a story, but I'm going to tell you one anyway, just to kind of break it down. Because our people, again, yes, our people like information. Yes, our people understand. Our people are very intelligent by nature, but we are visionaries, and we like to see a vision. So I'm going to paint you a vision, okay? So, for example, let's say a mother comes to a son. She's about to pass away. She says, hey, you know, I got this book here. I want you to read it. And the child is like, yeah, I'll get to it, right? So years down the line, the mother passes away. She makes a spiritual transition. The son finally, you know, it may be left in the will, or says, you know, she said, you know, she just wants him to read the book. And he's like, well, dang, my mama didn't leave me anything. But to make a long story short, $2,000 was found in the book. But only he would have got the $2,000 a long time ago if he would have just picked up the book and listened to his mother and read. So what that said is that we have to begin to understand the mentality. The mentality is like most of us can read. The problem is, the what we're reading is not always that we what that we're reading or can read in relationship. It's what we're really reading, what we're understanding, and how we relate to it. And most of the books nowadays, especially in school systems, are books that we don't relate to, and it's old books that, like your mother, like we could have gone to the same school, and it's like books that was back when, you know, your mother went to school back in the 80s. So, of course, I'm not going to really score really high in that class level, and I'm going to come across like I'm slower, like I'm an idiot, because this is an old book. It's talking about old stuff, not outdated, that has nothing necessarily to do with anything. And then not only is it outdated, because it's a beautiful thing to read about yourself and your history. So those types of so-called outdated information is wonderful, but you're talking about an outdated lie. So, no, that's not interesting. So as a child, I struggled with reading back in the day when I was younger. I was illiterate, and my mother had to teach me how to read. But according to their system, theirs came off a little bit differently because, again, of what they were educating our children. So, of course, with a slave, if you have a slave will kill to read because you're telling the slave that they can't read. So if you're telling me I can't do something, by nature, black people are rebellious. We are rebellious, you know, the tribe of Shabazz. So because of that, we're going to do it. And now they're putting all the information out there for you to read, but you don't want to read it because it's out there. It's just like the whole theory of the back of the bus. Now, before, you didn't want us in the front of the bus or we had to stand up. So now, sure, we take pleasure in sitting at the back of the bus. Why? Because we have the freedom to sit so-called anywhere we need to, right? So it's just a theory. It's a mind state of a rebellious nature that we have, which can be positive and it can be negative. And it's negative in the aspect of reading because it's put out there for us to read. There's nothing really hidden. Everything is, like, out there in hindsight. So, of course, if it's out there in hindsight, the white man, or should I say the system, the state, whatever you want to call it, the powers that be put information out there for us and for us to read, but they know that we're not going to read because they know and understand our rebellious nature.
Excellent. What are some of the things we should be looking for today? I know that Honorable Kwame Ture used to have his struggles with the Black Panther Party and said that the comrades didn't read enough. Why do you think it is that people within the movement are so quick to talk about grabbing a gun or grabbing their pistol, but they don't want to grab a book?
Well, because it's easier to grab a gun and not grab a book, because a book actually takes thought. But ha-ha, what a lot of us don't understand as Panthers revolutionaries, as whatever we deem ourselves within this lifestyle, right? Because this is not just a lifestyle. It's not just the way that we live, but it's a career. You have to begin to think of it as a career. What that said is that even with a gun and picking up a gun, that requires education. That requires not just education of the gun, but political education of why to use the gun. What is the point of the gun? The gun holds power. And it's not just power. You don't just have the power to kill or to be killed and that kind of thing, or to defend yourself in a righteous manner, but it is also a theory. It shows people, and that's the reason why it's the guns or the first guns had, you know, the silver, had the silver tint and had the black tint, because black, that's why people resemble and wear black, because black is strong. And it scares people, and it puts people in a perspective of, like, look, I'm not going to play with that person. That person has on all black. If you see somebody walking down the street all black, you don't know whether they have a gun or not. You assume that because of what? Because it holds power. And it's the same theory with a gun. And when you understand, you know, Brother Malcolm talked about the power, the bullet or the ballot. He talked about that, and that's a strong theory. It wasn't just about the gun. It wasn't just about the ballot. It was about a choice, and it was about understanding the theory and going into what is the strongest to hold the people, to grab people, to recognize what you're trying to do. In order, when you organize the theory of an organization or a militancy of an organization is the power of defense. And a book is certainly just as powerful as a gun, if not more, because you have the education, the acknowledgement, the training, the understanding why, when, what, where, how, and why to do what you need to do. And then if I'm holding this power, this book or this gun in my hand, I can effectively break down to a pig, for example, if he comes to me about whatever, I have the education to break down to him clearly what it is and why and where. And guess what? I don't even have to have a gun. I got the knowledge and power because of what I hold. And he has just a gun, but he doesn't even know the very laws that he's trying to interpret and try to protect. You know. And then not only that, if we understood exactly what a police officer's job or goal is, It says on the card to serve the community. The community does not necessarily mean the people. It means the land. Their goal is to protect the land. That's really the true nature of a pig.
That's what's up. And so we see our people being bombarded with steady propaganda every day, CNN and MSNBC and all that. And we talked about National Black TV yesterday. How important is it for us to produce our own images, in your opinion, Sister Minister?
Well, it's very key. If we're unable to protect and make our own images, then we can control the theory of the people. For example, the images right now is sex, sexuality, and how to wear your sexuality in such of a way, men kissing men, women kissing women, that kind of thing, right? And the theory also is accepting of everybody like a multicultural type of world where everybody's in peace and harmony and they are so blind to what's going on. So that is very important. That's how government runs their way. They are key on protecting their selves. For example, they're key on protecting what I call the free theory rule, right? This is kind of crazy. And you're going to, as the Minister of Information, the National Minister of Information within this organization, you're going to hear me talk about a lot of free theory rules, because we as a people, we have to begin to stop thinking just like, well, one scenario. We have to come up with the minimum of three scenarios. And that's going to get on everybody's nerves, but it's a theory. And then remembering, too, that everything is political, and with that said, is understanding this particular three theory rule. And one is the circle of concern. The second one is the circle of influence. And the last and not least is the smoke screen, right? And because of looking at all three of those, it's very important. Because that's how the government controls us, because of the fact that they are controlling, projects out to the public and the images. That's why they pump it in the radio, through the radio. That's why they pump it through the commentaries, different news people, and how they talk and how they always try to have, like I said, the smoke screens where they have different, like they have so-called opposing parties. They have this party saying this, yes, and the other party saying no, right? But they're really all in agreement with each other, and they, because they're operating off the same theory, they're just breaking it down in a different way, right? And so that's what we have to do. We have to have opposing theory against what is being projected in today's society. Because, again, keeping in mind the media, music, I don't think I mentioned it earlier, but that's a big influence. The media, the music, social networking, and television, newspapers. People really don't read a lot of newspapers, but some that do, we want to catch them as well. And also social network and just your general internet, right? Because of that, if we project this spirit of them understanding, we breaking down the system, what's going on, et cetera, then it makes it aware. Then if we begin to place it into our music, that's how we can make our movement more important. That's why the whole theory of the negative images are portrayed so heavily, because it's in the music. Because you got music that really, the beats are so good, you're like, wow. And because of the way that our, the way our dynamics are, because we're Africans, Nubians, or whatever y'all want to call yourself, because I know a lot of us call ourselves different, or Moors, whatever. I know a lot of us call ourselves a lot of things. That's fine, too. Black folks in general, we love drums. And it's something about the rhythm that hits our brain cells, that hits our brain, without going to the kundalini and all that, but the chakras. It hits our chakras and on a certain level, and we just begin to naturally dance, no matter how worse of a dancer, but we're natural rhythm people, and we love rhythm. We walk with rhythm. We talk with rhythm. We flow with rhythm, right? And because of that, and understanding that, they play the tightest beat with the dumbest lyrics in the world that you will ever hear. But our people, although they might not be necessarily listening to the beat, I mean, they might not be listening to the lyrics, but the lyrics are still seeping through. Just, I give you an example. If you leave the TV on, right, when you go to sleep, and it's something crazy on TV, like let's say if it's a slasher movie, you wake, it'll make you have like a nightmare, or you'll wake up feeling a certain kind of way, not positive, you'll be feeling negative because of the, you know, because of the subliminal messages. And that's what we have to do. We have to redefine our subliminal messages on every level as possible to our people and project the positive images as best as we can.
Absolutely. The number to call here is 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. We are talking about positive images within the black community. We're talking about defense of the black community, and we're talking about shutting down some no-good bastards for this upcoming holiday or hell-a-day season. We want to also take your calls in on this. Is this a good move? Is it a bad move? You think we're going to fail? What do you think? And so we got to find out. We want to know. But Sister Amira Sankofa Kwale is here with us, and she is breaking down to a T, why it is that we have to do what we got to do, why it is that we have to push this kind of information, why we have to control our images, why we got to take back our youth. I mean, this is great information. And we're also talking about building our own informational centers. Now, what I want to ask you here now, Sister Mira Sankofa, I want to ask you straight up. I want to ask you, what is political education? And why is there so much emphasis on this PE?
Well, I mean, just like in school, they used to call it physical education, right, where basically you ran around, you know, whether you ran around or whether you did some type of a sport, and it conditions your body. It also taught you, you know, it depends on what type of sport you – it depends on if you play sport, if they would put it in a sport formation. But if they will put it in the sport formation, then it would condition your brain because it taught you, like, a form of discipline. And that's basically what Panther education or political education is. It basically teaches you a form of discipline. It basically teaches you to become aware. It teaches you the soul of your being, and it makes you to become a better you, and it makes people around you to become a better you, and it highlights the interior of what your people is and what they can be and what they want to be and what they're going to be.
Okay, and again, you're hearing it first from our sister, Minister of Information, and we're going to hear in a second from our National Minister of Defense. I want to take a call in here and get him in here while we got time. First call here is area code 562-239, 562-239. You're on live, Black Power Radio. Your host, Sean Saddam Kwale, on live, National Minister of Information, Mr. Minister Sankofa Kwale, and we're about to hear from Minister DK, National Minister of Defense. Go ahead with your question, your comment. Welcome, Black Power. Area code 562-239. Your mic is open live. Got a question or comment? On mute. Keep moving. Area code 504-432. 504-432. Your mic is open. You're live. Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment. Welcome. Go ahead.
All right. Black Power. Got a shot. Black Power.
Kind of hard to hear. You got to get close to your phone. Welcome.
Welcome, Brother Sean. You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
I can hear
you
now.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Right here.
Okay, yeah. I got two quick questions. My first question is, are y'all planning on working with Dr. Claude Anderson? And the second question is, how do you link up with the brothers and sisters from out of Africa to do business with them in America?
Okay, absolutely. We absolutely intend and have all intention to link up with the great Dr. Claude Anderson. And as I think we mentioned before, he's very close to us and very dear to our family here and works personally with our National Minister of economics out of the West Coast. And so as we talk further and more about black business and this black economic dollar, we cannot leave Dr. Claude Anderson out of this discussion. I know many of you have saw him on Hidden Colors, and you saw many of his lectures and read his books, and he should be supported. Dr. Claude Anderson should be supported wherever he goes, whatever he do, whatever he put out. We must support Dr. Claude Anderson. There's no doubt about it. New Black Panther Party and Dr. Claude Anderson are on the same track. No doubt about that, at least economically. And second question, how do you link up with your brothers and sisters in Africa?
For business ventures and stuff like that, because brothers over there, they're dealing with the gold and stuff like that, and black folks, we like jewelry and stuff. So, you know, how we, you know, link up with them, you know, how they can get the gold and stuff, because, you know, the Jews control all of that.
Well, I really don't want to give out too much information on that, because that's still a work in progress. We have been updating you people on Black Power Radio as it comes along. But I will say that our trip to Africa that we took did uncover some serious information in terms of opportunity for our people, and that, you know, there's certain regions there, and even the President Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe and ZANU-PF and others that are interested in helping black people here in America to get established with business ventures. And I will say, brother, as the information becomes more and more available, because it's still a work in progress, that's what I'm saying, it's a work in progress now, but as it becomes more and more available, we'll put it on newblackpanther.com when things become finalized, and we have concrete plans to present to the people and a concrete blueprint on how you can do it. And we're going to put it right there on the website, and we'll announce it here on the radio, so that our people here in the West can take advantage of the opportunities being offered by our people in the East, and we can be true Pan-Africanists and do what brothers and sisters are supposed to do. So you just hold your horses, brother. I know you want to get rich right away, because we want to get rich right away. But we got to make some concrete plans, brother. So just be patient, sir.
All right, brother. Black Power, Brother Sean, you're doing an excellent job.
All right. Certainly appreciate you, Brother Harold. Certainly appreciate you. And I appreciate you always checking in and asking those pointed questions that you asked, brother. Thank you so much.
All right, brother. Black Power. Black Power.
All right, Black Power. And we want to move forward quickly and get in our National Minister of Defense as promised. Brother DK, who serves as our National Minister of Defense and is our defensive man within the New Black Panther Party, part of our National Central Committee, longtime veteran, soldier, and warrior. You on, Brother DK. Black Power, you with us?
Black Power family, Black Power.
Okay, Black Power, Black Power. Yes, sir. Talk to us defensively, sir. What's coming up? What's on the agenda? Got a lot going on around the world. Pigs going crazy, beating our people. We're still dealing with black-on-black violence in 2013. What's on the plate for the New Black Panther Party defensively? What we can share out in the open?
Defensively, one thing I can say without putting strategy over the air, I just want to say this one word: growth. And when I say growth, I mean procession. You know what I mean? Development. You know what I mean? The gradual progress, us getting out with the people in the community. And the community is now starting to realize that, you know, that they can't turn on, they can't turn to other people for that help. I mean, people are starting to reach out to the party now. You know what I mean? More than ever. They have before in the past, but now it's a new type of development that we're dealing with. When I say growth, I mean, we ran around this country for years, Brother Sean, and you could bear witness to it, man, helping our people. And a lot of times we get the whip crack back on us. And people try to say, people look at the different politics and the different tactics that we have to use as an organization to reach our people. But now when I say growth, I mean we're embedding ourselves in the community now to a point to where I want us to start digging into the households, getting into the households of our people. When I say real community training, I mean life training, manhood, womanhood development, real spiritual training. I don't like brothers and sisters who deal with different religious cultures, but we have to get back into the the insight of who we are as African people when we're talking about defending the black community. You know what I mean? So we have to break down the improper knowledge. I mean, it's a lot of different realms, and it's a whole total shift in where we're going right now. You know what I mean? So dealing with our people, we're dealing with them a little bit more on a strategic level, man, and some of the things that we can understand and people can expect from us right now is accountability. When I say accountability, I mean we have grown as an organization, but the people have learned to grow with themselves, man, and they start to reach out more and want what we give them to teach. But I think the teachers that we're putting out is not just so much of a, Dr. Khaled was a Dr. Khaled. No one could ever replace Dr. Khaled. Malik Zulu Shabazz is a Malik Zulu Shabazz. Nobody can ever replace what he's done. You know what I mean? These people they set the tone for their time, but we got new leadership. We have the structure that we have in place, but I think the energy that surrounds us, as I look at everything now from a spiritual energy, I don't look at nothing physical. You know what I mean? Because a lot of us have been through in jails. We still come out and we overcome. Our people getting killed. They still getting beat up. Police brutality, you just dealt with that. We just talked about that. You know what I mean? And we still managed to overcome. So that must let people are starting to awaken. They want people starting to realize how we keep getting stronger, how we continuing to grow. And, you know, they're seeing the effectiveness of the things that we do. So getting into the community right now, man, I mean, the training, and I'm not talking about just for people think training, they think weapons training. I mean, the sister was talking earlier about the health side of life, you know what I'm saying, how to eat, to live. I'm things like this, when I look at that, I mean, getting on the track of even getting our people in the mode of mind of living right, separating themselves from everything that attaches them to this government. Like, a lot of people going crazy talking about the government shutdown and all that crazy crap. I mean, hey, they take away food stamps, then the black man and woman are damn sure how to find the need to live off this land, get out here and learn how to, you know what I mean, cultivate the land and feed their babies. So those are some of the things that I'm working on myself with other brothers as far as agriculture. When you talk about defense, you got to talk about land and being able to protect that land when you get it. You got to talk about water and wellness. You know what I mean? There's sisters here in Dallas who are, right now, they have a food pantry where they're cranking up getting the sisters back aware about breastfeeding the babies, because a lot of our women don't even, they take that baby off the tit. They don't even give them the nipple no more. They depend on this procreated milk, man, this milk.
That's true.
This artificial Similac, they depend on that. And our people, there's just so many different systems that have been placed that have been placed in the black community that our people done became dependent on, to where someone have no choice but to depend on. I told a group of youngsters this weekend, I was like, they take food stamps for your mom and your dad, how you gonna live? You know what I mean? That's real. How you gonna live? What you gonna eat? You gonna start, you big, you strong, you healthy now. But if they snatch that government aid from up under you, you start, because you don't know how to grow. The women don't know how to sew. Brothers and sisters ain't making their own clothes. They depended on Gucci, Nike. They depend on these top designers to make them look good. I mean, so we get to talking about defense, and when I say growth, and when I say development, when I say gradual progression, I spoke on that because it's certain steps that strategically we're about to put in. We're not about to. We're doing it. Putting in place. We have put in place. We've been doing it in our own personal lives, but people are starting to see it. It's kind of like each one teach one. Everybody want to grab hold of the chain once it's moving. But I'm glad everything is happening in the community the way they are right now, because it's making people have to force. It's forcing the people to jump on this bandwagon of reality of what's going on, because we're getting to a time where I've heard a lot of people talk about sovereign nations, this, those sovereign nations, that. But truly, folks couldn't be independent of the government because they still had their hands in the pot. But right now, man, you know, we're talking about man, real manhood, womanhood training. You know what I mean? An elder asked a question. An elder shot something out there the other day when we was out talking. And he said, they gave his last meal for the people. And they said, who would you feed, the women and the children? Or the elders and the children? And I asked the kids the same question. The baby said, we got to eat, because we the future. And for them children to say that they got to eat because they're the future, it showed me that the baby's eyes is open. But mom and daddy don't have no proper knowledge to teach them nothing. Who hands are we going to put them in? So it takes brothers and sisters like us, man, who own these calls, on the Black Power Radio, listening, tuned in, out in the community, to take the information that we have within ourselves and start embedding this back to the community. And we got to start building these families. We have to start building them. These small cloths over the community to where you might have five or six youth that you can hit or five or six people in different pockets and different sectors. But everybody know when that call comes, they know when to move, where to move, and when to meet. And we have to be a unit. And one unit created is one to where we can start moving on these effective levels. So when I talk about gradual progression, I say this, you know, carrying on this certain type of tranquility and peace that gets into your mind or where, you know, you're starting to reveal true knowledge of yourself, but you're starting to heal yourself through your daily living. You know what I mean? We're starting to heal our people through our daily living. We don't have to depend on, well, I can't go and take out and go do this community event because I'm going to miss work. You create work for yourself, and you make that event a part of your community work. Black Power, you know, we have to make things that we're doing for the people a part of our life whole structure to where once we out in the community that we can set these things in place to where it's harmony with it and we're moving in one rhythm, you know. So on the defensive structure, man, one of the brothers sent me a little video footage this morning, and it motivated the hell out of me because he's a little bit older than me. I ain't going to put him out there on the East Coast. He's a little bit older than me, but he was working his machete with some real effectiveness. But it looked like a dance. And I showed it to another brother. He was like, man, can the brother do that in combat? If he was in a real combat situation, could he do all that? How would you do all that? How would you move? You have to be able to, you know, and I told him, I said, I believe that the brother could. Why? Because if he mastered that craft to where he can work that tool, that effective, just to display, and you teach that with a rhythm, then you teach that, then you train them, then you have to keep healthy to make that, to maintain that. It'll force you to be able to understand these movements and the different things that you do on the level of to where these things just flow like water, everything's a rhythm. So I was like, yeah, I believe my brother could work like that. I know he could. So things like that, you know what I mean, we have to learn how to do and get into that groove. Black Power, hold on 1 minute. Black Power. Get into that groove. You know, we got to get back and get that fear out of our people, man, that doubt out of our people, because right now, a lot of times people, they got this big side of doubt over them, man. They doubt what they can do, and people don't become dependent on this next level of government, nothing. You know what I mean? So until we get ourselves in a place to where we don't have that doubt in our minds of what we can do as a people, and we remove that fear out of our hearts on actually getting out and doing it as a people for the people, and we move and step out on the move with that rhythm, and we start getting some of these people who got the money to support us, some of these people who's sitting on some of them dollars that we need, because a lot of our problems just come from financial fuck up. I'm just being real, man. We just financially incapable of making moves. Some people are. You know what I mean? But if we can get some of these people that's sitting on these reckless dollars for nothing to support what we got going on, you know, we can start building communities of our own, for our own. A lot of folks ain't going to be able to make it to Africa. You know what I mean? So we got to bring Africa right here in the home, right here where you at. You know what I'm saying? Black Power, you with me? We got to bring that right here where we at. You know what I mean?
Black Power.
And start right here in our communities. I mean, Brother Sean, you know, you've labored for a long time. You know what I mean? You labored for a long time. I was checking you out on Facebook. You was talking about running a mile and getting out, staying fit, and not just talking about it and putting it to work, putting it in your daily action. You know, I say, man, I don't work myself so much. You know what I mean? Just trying to be financially right. Sometimes you forget about your physical rights. You eat good, but you ain't exercising. You know what I mean? So we got to make everything we do a part of our daily rhythm, to where it's our lifestyle. But on this defensive note, you know, as far as the police brutality and things like that, I mean, we have great things and great people in place to deal with this, And I think Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, you know what I mean? He led a mighty race while he was in it. And, you know, I think he inspired a lot of people to catch his back, jump on his coattails. So, I mean, we got to keep ourselves in this position in the world. We still in the community. We got the community standing up for themselves again to deal with these issues. Because one thing I hate is when we run out here, man, and we leave our families, we go out here and we fight for the people, and then the people don't continue to fight for themselves. I think that's bullshit. And it just runs me ragged and over the head. But an old vet like me won't stop going. We just keep kicking. You know what I mean? We don't stop going. We keep kicking because we know what the people need. But it runs me ragged when the people allow their babies to get their ass whooped. You know what I mean? When the people allow, you know, their brothers to get and their sisters to get through in prison, and they don't do nothing about it. They accept going to visit their family in prison and shit. You know, one thing I know is, man, you can't become accustomed to going to visit somebody in the cage because you got people bring that. I think one of the worst things we do is take our children to go see people in jail because now the babies feel like that shit's okay. You know what I mean? They feel like that's where you go see daddy at now. When you go visit daddy, you got to go visit daddy in jail. You know what I mean? So it's no more career day for the black youth. You know, it's no more mama, daddy-daughter day for the black youth in the school system because all the fathers, you know, a lot of fathers tucked away in the prison system. And the ones that's not in the prison system, yeah, they're on the block trying to get it so the babies can eat. And they taking the penitentiary chances to feed the babies. So part of our defense structure, you know, is we want to get out here and let some of these brothers who got this money in the improper way know how to use this money to where they can start building their own nations legally according to the so-called government so they don't have to take the penitentiary chances when they're out here trying to feed their families too and be able to defend their home the right way because I can't respect a man who flip all his dollars in illegal fashion and say he's feeding his family, but then, hell, when he get popped and busted, don't need nothing back here for these babies. You know what I mean? He ain't left a business. He ain't left a phone. He ain't left nothing. He leave a son to pack, and then his son follows that same trait, and they continue to move on that same level, you know? So we got to, I mean, it's going to be a journey right now. It's going to be a small journey on where we're going for what we need to do, you know? So I'm with it and I'm on it.
Yes, sir. And he's fine. I'm sorry, go ahead. Did you finish?
Go ahead, bro.
Okay. Yeah, and we got like a minute or two left with the show, but I do want to ask you this in the final seconds. Kind of talk to us about the tightening up of the new Black Panther Party.
Gotcha.
You know, what the people can expect in terms of our discipline, and then tell the listening audience what to look out for in terms of to defend against in our community.
Well, one thing I want brothers and sisters to be looking forward to is seeing the visibility of the brothers in the black community. You know what I mean? Being more not just informative, but more demonstrative towards the issues that are concerning the black community. I want the black community to start holding the brothers and the sisters who represent the party to a higher standard of how we deal with the people. I mean, it's time out for the mistreating of the black woman. You know what I mean? The brothers, as brothers, and we get new membership coming into the party. We got a lot more sisters that are joining the party, that's about to join the party, and that's coming into the party. Brothers that are already in the party are going to have to be hands-off with these sisters because that's the future development of our party. If we keep enough strong women in the party and develop their minds and get them cultivated, then you brothers go ahead and take the right role. And if you like that sister, marry that sister. Marry that sister, queen that sister, queen that sister. That's your family. Boom, we just embedded a whole other family that's sitting on a black power structure. You know, that's building. But a lot of times sisters turn away and brothers turn away because we prematurely approach this and engage in the bullshit, you know what I mean, when it comes to the new relationships in the party. So we got to be hand-off with that because I'm loving the fact that we have more sisters stepping up saying, hey, I'm ready to serve my people. And I want the sisters to feel comfortable enough to know that they can serve their people. And brothers ain't finna be, you know, hey, man, you know, trying to chop it up with the sisters in a negative fashion and running the sisters away. So that's a beautiful thing. But the brothers, I'm tired of seeing the slouch in the uniforms and the things like this. You know, over the years, we done seen some brothers who who, you know, big men who got good hearts, who just big men who got big hearts with a high cholesterol big hearts because we got pork bellies, you know what I mean? Brothers eating wrong and living wrong, but they throw that uniform and they come out there, man, the white man look at you kind of crazy, like, who the fuck you going to defend? You know, so it's tightening up all the way around as far as the physical aspect. Brothers need to start working out more, you know, proper drilling. You know, we got to be held accountable for everything, you know, getting our general, knowing these general orders, knowing what this 10-4 platform stands for, knowing every point on that platform, eating it, living it, resting in your mind on a day-to-day basis, knowing that, you know, if you understood that platform, if we understood that platform, then we'll know what the new Black Panthers want, we know what the people want, we know what the community needs, and we understood if we was out here eating, living, and breathing them 9 local objectives, then we know we know what we're supposed to put ourselves in the community so the community can expect for us to be on a more strategic regimen for how we dealing with each other and how we are and putting ourselves back out into the community from the top down, including myself. I'm about to start doing more traveling into the cities, training the men up, training some soldiers up, doing some road traveling with some soldiers, you know what I mean? We're going to start moving around, you know, city to city building. When I say city-to-city building, I mean we're about to take off on a whole new level and, you know, pulling brothers out of the cities and say, man, you come with me to this city, we're going to build up. Boom, I'm going to have to go back to my family, but these brothers are carrying this on. You know, we're about to start doing some true nation building. I like the fact you asked that question, what can the people expect from us? You know, you can expect, like I said in the beginning, growth, gradual progress. But I want the people to be able to hold us accountable for the things that we say because we put it out here on the earth. I want you to see it in the community through the actions. And if you see it in the community through the actions, I want us to be practicing even at the house. When we take this uniform off, we're still pastors. We're still fathers. We're still mothers. You know what I mean? When we put them back, when we go put our regular clothes on to go to work, they still know that's that brother, that's that sister. They ain't got to identify you by a title or a label. They just know your character. I want us to start practicing good character while we're dealing with our people. That's one thing that the people can expect us is good character. No more time out for the high-class speeches to sound good. We're going to let our information men do the speaking. We're going to let the brothers who got the right, who've earned the right to talk, and the brothers who have developed the need to soldier. That's how warriors are built. So we're going to start turning some of these soldiers into warriors, and we have to do this by culture with our brothers, man, you know, cultivating the sisters and brothers in a different way, you know what I mean? With the proper training. I need the East Coast to start coming to the South. I need the South to start going to the East Coast. I mean, I want brothers to know how it is on different terrains, different levels. The Midwest, come to the South. We shoot to the Midwest. I mean, different things. We got to start bouncing and moving so that brothers ain't just Panthers in their community. You know, we got to be stretching across the globe the right way because, I mean, if the shit hit the fan, I might have to uproot and leave Dallas, you know what I mean, and go to the Midwest. I want to know how it is in the Midwest when it comes to living. It's a different beast. I know y'all devil ain't the same as the devil down here, you know what I mean? So I know New York's devil is a fool with it. So, you know, I mean, we got to be able to deal with them on different levels, but we have to really get into an effective mode of traveling and training. When I say traveling and training, I mean getting on this highway, man, calling out to your brother, boom, boom, come to these summits, these training exercises, make them mandatory, hit them, chopping them up, throwing them in there, making it happen, and less of the bullshit. I see a lot of people just, you know, we gripe about the work, and we talk about what we should be doing, but so all we do is talk about the work and what we should be doing, and we argue with each other more than we do bills sometimes. So, I mean, we got to get off of that. I mean, the season is right now. Got 2013 drawing to an end. We're about to hit 14, and it's going to be better for us as a people, us as an organization. I mean, people wising up. I mean, we're getting better. You can expect to see sharper troops. Let me say that. You can expect to see sharper troops coming out of the party. No more butt nuts. No more butt nuts. Nincompoopitis. You know what I mean? When I say that, I mean the small, casual mistake that costs people. You can't expect that no more. Zero tolerance to that. Zero tolerance for the bullshit. That's from the top down. Everybody is to be held accountable, even myself. You know what I mean? So I think we have the right people in place right now to do that, to where everybody is held accountable for the things that we do. So that's good. You know what I mean? That's a good standard to be set. So we just have to continue to build on that. You with me, bro?
Yes,
sir. We continue to build on that and continue to roll. But before I move forward, let me touch on this right quick. Let me touch on this one thing right quick. I'm into a direction where I see the party going into a direction to where we're not just putting that uniform on and not understanding and living by that freedom of death. We really living up to the understanding, the expectation of what that freedom of death means. You know what I mean? A lot of people, they put that uniform on and then sometimes they get comfortable. But I believe that where we at right now, we at a place where our energy is going to be so, we have to be so highly active with our energy to where when you say freedom of death, you live that. You breathe that. That's what you really mean. I know that if I stop being a father today and I abandon my babies and I just go and do some foolishness, like get through in prison, I hurt more than just my family here in my house. Because every day that I leave my home, I go to a place of business where I try to make other people's lives better so that they can carry that back into their homes. And we have to put that type of accountability on our shoulders with every move that we make. So when we say freedom or death, that's the freedom that's the level of mental consciousness of freedom that I've gradually grew to, where I'm free from, I ain't enslaved by nothing. You can't tell me what I'm worth by the hour. You can't tell me about I'm free. I can do what I want to do. If I want to live off the land, I'm going to do that. I can make the moves I want to make. And the government don't want you to live like that. When they see that you're living like that, they come to you. And I'm not scared of that shit no more. You know what I mean? I used to be scared to lose that job, but I don't worry about that no more. Come after me, come snatch what I got, come take it, do what you do. You ain't taking nothing because I'm not giving you nothing to take. I've created my own. You know what I mean? And until we can get that in our mind, that's the true freedom or death. I'd rather be free than to die giving myself up to somebody else. So I know if I leave my babies behind, I'm not just affecting my family, I'm hurting somebody else's family. You know what I mean? But we got to stop. We got to do it so tight-knitted to where it's so grassroots and it's so structured to where people on the outside, it just looks to them like we're going to work every day. But we're working every day. Because we're not living flamboyant and flashy. Just keeping it low-key to where you're so stable to where you can reach back out and grab somebody else and help them too. That's what people can start seeing from the brother. If a brother or sister to say he's a Panther and he can't reach out and pull back and help somebody else, grab somebody else, that's not why I joined this. When I joined this organization, it was brothers and sisters in place that they took me from one level of a street thug and they molded me into a manhood, and I had to continue that. They didn't keep shaping me. I had to continue that. But they just continued. I had mentors that continued to guide me. But I had to continue that training on myself personally as a man. But I want to start creating a life coach cycle with the brothers in the party. And the sisters have to start doing the same thing. I want to see the sisters working with the sisters and the brothers building with the brothers and then us building together as a family. And if the community is reflecting on us while we're building, then that's the character of the party, and that's the direction and where we're going. And I want to make sure that we're so on point while we're doing it and defend that character by any means necessary to where, you know, hey, if we're doing what we're doing, that's for the people, but keep us in line, keeping our order in line from inside the house, because ain't nobody on the outside going to try to destroy what we got going on the inside that we right. So I want to get us right. Then we have to get right, and then we start stretching out. And that's where we're going, brother. Black Power.
Black Power. And last question to you. I know we got to go, but last question to you. You come in the great line of men like Robert F. Williams, Deacons for Defense, and Huey P. Newton, another Minister of Defense. What are the lessons that we can learn from these type of men and yourself as Ministry of Defense? What are the lessons that we need to learn as a community going forward?
You gotta look at, let me say this. I was reading one lesson I learned from the elders. You know what I mean? Robert Williams took what he did and what he had with his organization, and he used it, and it was effective for his time. Huey P. Newton, at his time, took the party to heights because they had never seen what he put out there, and they had never seen it effective because he stood behind what he wanted and what he said. But I also learned from some of the flaws of brothers like Huey P. Newton. And a lot of people talk about his greatness. I respect his greatness, but you know what? I learned so much more from his defects, the things that I think he could have done better. And that's where I'm living at now. Because Huey P. Newton, a lot of people, he battled addiction and some other things. And those are some of the things that I tackle right now. And he also fell victim to some of the same things that he fought against. He fell victim to the COINTEL program. And that's one of the things that he exposed and fought. He fell victim and bit the dust behind it. You know what I mean? So I speak out in the relevance of that. And I think that people can learn from me is that I'm a walker through this journey. You know what I mean? Other people brought us into the journey. I'm a walker through the journey. And not just, you know, I'm not going to get out here and do no foolishness to get myself thrown under no chain. But I do what we do. I'm a walker through the journey. I'm one of those people who I believe that each one will mentor through it. But at the same time, people can expect from me, I'm sometimes too real. I'm so real to where I offend some people because I'm the truth. I'm going to speak the truth, and I'm going to always stand for the truth. If it's right, it's right. If it's not right, I'm not going to stand for it. And I got the attitude to say, fuck you or buck you. You know what I mean? That's just me. But I believe in raw reality, and I deal with things from that side of life, raw reality. And if our people could approach and understand things from that side of raw reality, then it'd be easy for us to shake off some of that stuff that's not a true reality, like the mind state where people are living at right now. People feel like they need this and they need that. You know what I mean? You know, I live in that raw reality, so that's one of the things that people can expect from the hero from me is that type of teaching. I teach from that sternness of raw reality, period. You know what I mean? And I can speak higher than, not higher than, I'm putting nobody above another, but not just from Huey P. Newton standpoint or somebody like Robert Williams, but let's talk about some of the modern teachers like Brother Hashim Nzinga. You know what I mean? This is a man who came, I look at his journey throughout the years, this man came from Dallas. He went through a journey. When I talk about journeys, he went through a journey from a whole name change, shift, and everything to where he at, boom, to who he is right now. But you got to know his journey in order to even understand him or respect him as a man. Malik Zulu Shabazz, you got to know his journey to even know who he is and even respect him as a man. Boom. Khalid Muhammad. People knew Khalid because Khalid was from the nation, and Khalid was pro black power, fired up, right on. Nobody could do what Doc did, but you got to know that journey. What was Doc toward the end of his days? You know what I mean? I learned a lot from other people who, some of them gave up the torch. Even brothers who some of us don't know the history on, but even in this organization, you know what I mean? But that's a whole other subject. And that's what people can get from me is the recreation of that true history for the party, because I'm going to put the truth out there as we keep living. But people got to be willing to accept it, and it's going to turn some heads, but it's the truth. You know what I mean? And that's what people can get from me, that raw reality, man. It's a mind change. It's a whole paradigm shift in the mental of where we're going right now. That war is not about the guns, and you got to have them. You got to have them and know how to use them and be trained with them. We have the guns. We got the training for all of that, but it's a whole other shift. It's a physical and a mental thing, but it's not a weak one. And, you know, sometimes It's crazy, but I remember when I first joined the party, and right around the time when I first joined the party, I was first doing the good work. And I remember one of the times when a brother said, you know, who in the rooms, you know, gonna roll out and take this new who might not come back to our family, who ready to die? Who willing to die? And I was, you know, young, fired up, and threw my hand up. And I'm like, damn, I looked around, nobody else was on that level. But really, I really wasn't about that life. That was just the fire in the room, ready to die. I ain't never ready to die. I'm prepared to die, but I'm ready to keep living and live longer. You know what I mean? Longer years so I can teach more. Teach more, see these babies come up more, teach them more. Then when I do die, pass on, they can inherit some greatness. So that's where I'm at, Brother Sean. Black Power.
Yes, sir. That's where we all are. We are, as Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad say, we're prepared to go, but we're also prepared to kill in self-defense.
Hell yeah.
Brother Minister, we appreciate
I'm not
you.
Gonna
we appreciate
say, let me say this right quick, man. I'm not going to tell you this. Let me say this right quick, man. Let me say this right quick. I'm not for a lie to tell nobody that I'm going to hide my hands in a time of war. You know what I mean? I'm not for to tell you that I'm going to let somebody put me in a chain and shackle me and carry me away. Hell no. I got the same fire. I'm the same brother, and it's going to be the same way with that. You know, hey, man, get your fucking hands off me tight. That's me. But this wisdom is so real right now, man. To be able to mature into this wisdom is so real. You know, if you go back to Africa, man, and you look at the elders in Africa, I'm waiting to get to that level where I want to be the little man, the old man sitting on the stoop, and the brothers coming in quarreling, and the old man just look at him and give them that good game, and they all going about their way. And he's just so humble where nothing, everything going on him is chaotic around him. It don't seem like it's even affecting him because he done went through that journey. He know how to deal with it. You know what I mean? But you got to know that old man's journey, his struggle, before he got to that point to where he reached that wisdom. So that's where we at, man. That's what we got to all strive for. That's my long-term objective, is to get there. But a lot of people killing themselves fast because we living too quick trying to be like somebody else, man. Be yourself, understand who you is, and reach down in your heart to find something for you in your lifeline and establish your bloodline and strengthen yourself to where you can protect that bloodline, man. Then we'll realize, man, we robbed you. And if you wouldn't defend your royalty, then, hey, man, this our land. We ain't got to go nowhere because this ours because we built it. You know what I mean? And get back to where we at and kick them the fuck off our land because we built it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's
right.
Real, Black Power.
And Black Power, and a mighty Black Power. Thank you for the National Minister of Defense. And you've already told us we can expect great things from the new Black Panther Party. For those who have wondered whether the new Black Panther Party was going to get tight or what was going to happen. You're there first. My National Minister of Defense has already let you know that he intends to cut the heat up on the mission and our people and our membership and do what we got to do. And we look forward to everything he's bringing to the table in terms of the programs, the protocols, the Watch a Pig or police patrols, everything he's organizing. He's got a lot on his schedule and a lot on his plate. And we intend to have you got something to say, sir? Yes, sir.
Brother, one thing I want to say this for the people, man. The brothers and the sisters, right now, man, I ask everyone this. I ask everyone to learn how to sacrifice their current condition. Sacrifice for their current conditions in order to prosper, because if you can sacrifice right now with your current condition the way it is in order to prosper, then you don't expect to gain more or to lose because you're content where you at right now, just enough to say it's going to get better. And you can just get in your mind and say, I'm going to sacrifice right now, right here where I'm at, in order to prosper and move forward. I ain't talking about no spiritual spook theory, nothing. I'm talking about to really get ahead and build. When I say build, I challenge you every day. Eat right. Live right. Work out. Put down the whack blunts, the crack, the alcohol. Just give some of whatever you love to do, give it up for 7, 14, 21 days. Feel the new you. And then step back out on the forefront. Be it with your brothers. and just take 7, 14, 21 days, man, we got to start back getting and applying these laws that apply to us so that we can become great. You know what I mean? And some of this stuff we can't talk about on no radio show. That means you got to get with your brother and Bill and understand what he's talking about. Get with your sister and Bill and understand how they're living it. You know what I mean? Because, bro, ain't nobody finna outlive us, shall we great. You know what I mean? And ain't nobody, and when it comes to war, they not finna out war us. We keep winning. We keep winning. Every time the odds is against us, we might get, some of us might get locked up. But guess what? Even when we get locked up, we win. Because they put us in a fucking jail cell with people who need this knowledge. And we know we're coming out. We come back out. We come back to the streets. You feel me? We come back to the streets. And these brothers that's in there can't wait to come back out and do the same thing. So anywhere they put us, we're going to grow. You know what I mean? They need to give us our own planet. And then we just get the hell off this one. And we'll be on one. But anywhere they put us, we're going to grow. I started with growth. And I'm still going here with growth. That's what people can expect for us, from us. That's where we're going. We outdoing everything around us, man. And not because we look good. Not because we sound good. That's because we come from what was created, from the creator that created all things that is good, man. We the true gods of this earth, man. We the kings and queens. And until our people start understanding that, then we'll stop accepting the savages. I mean, people are starting to wake up, man. I even look at some of the hip-hop right now. Some of these cats that talk that garbage, they used to, you know, the sister spoke on that, how the lyrics, they dropped the whack lyrics on the raw beat. Now, we gotta even go as far as to change the beat. You know what I mean? Put a whole new vibration out there. We the beat. We that raw beat that everybody want to vibe to. You know what I mean? We the raw beat that everybody want to vibe to. That's what they can expect. Expect some master, some raw production coming from the new Black Panther Party. That's us. That's what you can expect, that rhythm coming from us. But the youth is going to have to be the new and improved lyrics that keep us going. The people that are coming behind us, the new recruits that's coming behind us, you know what I mean? Change the song up a little bit. Take this industry over for real, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. Brothers and sisters, we're in here first. My National Minister of Defense, and he's dropped it for us tonight. And again, if you are with, and you should be with, after everything that he shared with us tonight and everything that our National Minister of Information has shared with us tonight, everything our National Chairman has shared with us tonight, you should be ready and fired up to move and to help these objectives and help these programs. Email us. Our email is newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. That's newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. For more information, info in your area, how to register to be a part of this movement and this program, newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com, our website, newblackpanther.com, newblackpanther.com. And again, New Black Panther Party is on the move, and we are on the mission, on the ball, getting on the ball. So I want to thank tonight our National Minister of Defense, Brother DK, who called and checked in with us. Let us know what's happening and what we can plan and what we can expect. And we do look forward to it, everything that he laid out for us. We want to thank also our National Minister of Information, Sister Amira Sankofa Kweli, for dropping it down, letting us know what we can expect from her department, the proper propaganda, the information, taking back our images and what we should study. And like I say, and forgot to mention for our National Minister of Defense, that proper training on weapons use and the drilling and how to watch the so-called authorities in your neighborhood. A lot coming from us. Expect that and expect much, much more. And be sure to stay on the bloodsuckers behind in the black community. We're going to offer you revolutionary solutions to our problems. And as our National Chairman says, we are the answer to our own problems. We are the answer to our own problems. We're the answer. And so, brothers and sisters, we want to thank you once again for another power-packed presentation and edition of Black Power Radio. You know, we'll be coming back to you. We will very soon in the near future be doing two shows once again like we used to. We'll be right back at you Monday nights. We'll be there Wednesday nights. And who knows? Who knows what our national spokeswoman has planned? She might go 7 nights a week. I don't know. Can't keep up with it all. But at the end of the day, we're gonna be here as the news unbreaks, as things unfold, and bringing you information that you need to know. Let me make sure I give you our national number here. National number before I sign off. To contact the New Black Panther Party anywhere in the world, national numbers, area code 347-903-0886. Again, national office number for New Black Panther Party anywhere in the world for any kind of information to join up with our movement or what have you. Get in touch with us. It's area code 347-903-0886. One more time, New Black Panther headquarters at gmail.com. I'm your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli, saying, remember, it's black power for black people. We say all power to the people, and if black people are not free, there is nobody that's free. Black power. Until next time.